name is Connie. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride, fear, and lust. Hi. Please pray with me. God, thank you for creating us in love with a value that cannot be removed. In spite of your love, I confess that I often desire to hide things from you and from others. Please help me to share the story you've given me with freedom. God, I also ask that you'd remove the shame and pride that holds us captive. Reveal how you want to heal us and use us for your glory. I ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. I was born and raised in Dallas by both parents, who are still married today. I grew up knowing that I was loved. Their commitment to each other, regardless of feelings and circumstances, still encourages me to live selflessly. I remember attending church with my parents and hearing about Jesus, his perfect character, and his love for me. When I was 6 years old, I prayed to Jesus and asked him to come live in my heart. At that point, I knew that he had died on the cross for my sin and yet still lived. I knew that if I believed in that truth, then I would live in heaven with him forever. I had no idea what it looked like to follow Jesus daily. As a spoiled only child, pride and selfishness came naturally. I used profanity often and was frequently verbally and physically abusive toward my peers. Because none of these behaviors seemed to attract negative attention, they continued, and I encouraged others to act the same. When I was enrolled in a new school in seventh grade, everything changed. For the first time, I was nervous about making new friends. Within a few months, my fears of not being accepted were confirmed as rumors began circulating that I was a lesbian. I felt rejected and alone. That same year, I dislocated my knee during dance class, which meant that I wasn't able to return to dance that year or participate in the recital. I also began to have nightmares about re-injuring my knee that would continue for years. At the time, I couldn't see how these painful experiences could be good for me, but these events marked the beginning of God's work to remove all the barriers in our relationship. The rumors, bullying, and my knee injury caused me to turn to God. My mom and I had been going to church, but God's word and his presence suddenly became something that I needed. This is when I discovered the mysterious beauty of knowing my Creator. I began reading the Bible at night and pouring out my heart to him. He became my counselor, my faithful friend, and my comforter, but he wasn't yet my Lord. Being obedient was still difficult. I knew that God existed and that I belonged to him, but obeying God seemed impossible and unreasonable because of my pride. I ignored scriptures that seemed extreme and not applicable to the culture that I lived in. I made up a God on my own terms that allowed me to pursue popularity, lust, and comfort, thinking that God, in his grace, would spare me from the consequences of my actions. Through junior high and high school, I frequently drank alcohol, smoked cigarettes, and experimented with other drugs. I was exposed to pornography and began to seek it out on a regular basis. I also continued to act inappropriately with boys. I knew that sex before marriage was wrong, but I wasn't going that far. Plus, secret sins seemed fun and exciting. These sins grew in the dark and quickly drove a wedge between me and God. Proverbs 14:12 says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in its end is the way to death. In my pride, I drew a line in the sand between the sins that were socially appropriate and those that weren't, and I patted myself on the back because I wasn't crossing the line I had made. I justified these behaviors, and I bought the lie that I wasn't really hurting anyone. Underneath it all, I was terrified of not being accepted. While in college, I began dating one of my high school boyfriends again. We had never had sex, but I continued to engage in behaviors that pushed that boundary. It didn't take long for me to officially cross the line. I remember thinking, I don't really care anymore. This stands out as one of my darkest memories because I was giving up. I knew that all of the acts leading up to sex were wrong, but I didn't think that the life God wanted me to live was possible or good. We were soon engaged, but this only increased the pressure that I felt. The fights, threats, manipulation, all of it increased to a breaking point. Clearly, the relationship was unhealthy, and although there were many other warning signs, I didn't heed any of them. 1 month before the wedding, I finally sat down with God and allowed him to probe my heart regarding the uneasiness I felt. I talked to my fiancé about my concerns, but in the end I crumbled. I didn't have the strength to leave. When I had nothing left, I prayed once more and he gave me the strength to end the engagement. This was a pivotal point in my relationship with God, and it's one I often look back to for hope. I had ignored the Holy Spirit's conviction, acted carelessly and selfishly, but when I cried out for help, God rescued me. He did not hesitate. God's love is more powerful than our rebellion, period. Although this could have been a spiritual turning point in my life, I continued to try to find happiness without God. I knew that God's goals were different than mine, and I feared that I would miss out. My pride told me that I could make it through without his help. I graduated with a degree in psychology as a way to understand others and myself. I had struggled with overwhelming depression since junior high. I shied away from Christian counselors because I was ashamed and unwilling to surrender. Depression controlled me. I used a mixed bag of tricks to mend my heavy heart. Exercise, dieting, attention from men, control, counseling, antidepressants, excessive drinking, back to dieting and exercising so that I could get attention from men, and on and on. I tried to keep all the plates spinning. If one fell, I would find myself pointing the finger in judgment or beating myself up in an effort to force perfection. Under all the anger and pride, I felt hopeless and confused. In relationships, I continued my pattern of temptation and manipulation to try to find my value in others. I see now that if God had provided a husband then, I might have never turned to him. About 6 years ago, I reconnected with a friend from college who was a member of Watermark. She persistently encouraged me to walk with God. I remember being so angry with her because I felt judged, but for some reason we kept meeting. I remember the exact moment I realized that I had put everything into my dating relationships, but I had never given God my all. So I dove in. I began attending Watermark on a regular basis. I remember one Sunday hearing a church leader stand up and admit that he was broken, that he needed a Savior every day. It was refreshing to hear his humility. I was hungrier for God's word, for his truth, than I had ever been before. I bought a study on the book of Matthew and found myself doing multiple lessons each day. My friend also invited me into her community group. Seeing other women run towards God and fill their hearts with scripture encouraged me to do the same. Most of my activities and associations at this point were lined with sin. So with encouragement from God's word and with his people, I began to make drastic changes. As I made decisions to honor God, I saw how he provided for my every need. At the time, I was working at a children's psychiatric unit filled with stress and sickness. God gave me several opportunities at work to share the hope of Christ with kids that were desperate for healing and love. Although I loved helping others, God made it clear that I needed to move on. I wasn't ready. 2 weeks later, there was an incident with a patient that resulted in me being fired. Although it was painful, losing that job was an answer to some very specific prayers. I had also been accepted to a master's program in counseling. During my interviews, it was made clear that I'd be accepted into the doctoral program next year. Easy. I was right on track. But again, God made it clear that this is not the path that I was to follow, so I resigned. I was now out of work, with no plans for my future, but my trust in God and his plan was growing. When all of my avenues for work had been exhausted and I was beginning to lose hope, I was offered a job that again answered some very specific prayers. During this time, I also stopped drinking, smoking, dieting, and instead tried to focus on God and treat my body as his temple. I stopped hanging around others that didn't encourage me toward wisdom and truth. It didn't always go well, and some shared their concerns with me openly. They said things like, "It makes me sad to see you missing out on life." Or, "So what you're really saying is that I'm doing something wrong, right?" One of my best friends told me, "I don't know how to be your friend anymore. We've known each other for 12 years, and I don't know who you are." These things were painful to hear, but I knew that I was moving in the right direction. Proverbs 16:2-3 say, "All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established." I had lived thinking my ways were pure in my own eyes, but now I was turning and choosing God's way over my own. I was committing my way to him. The Hebrew word for commit means to roll away, implying a large boulder or a heap of stones. I had to roll away every sin in every part of my life and place every burden onto Jesus. At the cross, Jesus took my burdens and he suffered for them. So daily I choose to commit because he suffered for me. He is my Lord. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. With my words and actions to God and others, I admitted I was wrong and I turned. One of the blessings that came from turning to the Lord was freedom from depression. Instead of weeks or months of depression at a time, it turned to days and then just to a few hours. Several times I remember falling to my knees and begging God for mercy, and then the cloud of depression would lift. I began sharing the gospel with the homeless in Dallas on a weekly basis. This was scary at first, and many people encouraged me to stay away for my own safety. I saw firsthand the brokenness and sin in one of the most difficult mission fields that I know of. I saw lives changed by the good news of Christ. I learned there that everyone has a story and that everyone is loved. After a year or so had passed, a friend pointed out how my anxiety and control was affecting my service to Christ. I had become accustomed to praying and seeing obstacles removed, so this was new ground for me. I desperately wanted freedom once again, but it was not coming as easily as I expected. Although I was afraid and ashamed, I began attending recovery at Watermark, the same recovery I had encouraged those that I served to attend. It was overwhelming, but I kept coming. I remember that for months, if anything bad happened, anything at all, it happened on a Monday. I had to be firm in this commitment. Anything that was keeping me from walking through those doors was keeping me from God. Early on, I decided that because lust and idolatry to men was such a huge part of my story, that I wouldn't date while I was in recovery. This decision was difficult, and my resolve was tested several times in different ways throughout the year. God carried me through this season, providing several deep friendships with other women. God recentered my heart, teaching me the importance of friendship for the first time. Although I wasn't acting out lustfully with others, I was acting out in secret. Because I had gained so much ground in this struggle, I justified occasional sins that I thought were small. I thought I wasn't hurting anyone again, but I was. I was corrupting my mind, my heart, and worshiping myself, not God. I began to have lustful and inappropriate thoughts about others, men and women. I was shocked, frightened, and ashamed. Galatians 5:9 reminds us that a little leaven leavens the whole lump, which is just another way to say that sin corrupts no matter how small or how insignificant it seems. This was the motivation that I needed to completely surrender my lustful behavior and thought life. I opened up to my community group and my recovery group and began to experience freedom and joy in ways I've never thought possible. The shame of this sin almost kept me from returning to lead a group through the steps, but God was faithful to give me the courage to step up. I thought that by confessing my sin, I was eliminating myself from the opportunity to lead, but in reality, I was submitting to God and to godly community. Serving others in recovery gives me the opportunity to see others with the eyes of God, full of grace and love, seeing the great potential in every person, even if it's not yet realized. In the book Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis quotes a parable from George MacDonald, giving us a clear picture of God's workmanship in us. Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps, you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right, stopping the leaks in the roof, and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing, so you're not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one that you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought that you were going to be made into a decent little cottage, but he's building a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself. That's what recovery and life in Christ is like. God's renovation will continue until the very last day on earth. Over the last 5 years, God has used several debilitating health issues and chronic pain to work on my pride and to teach me that his goodness overcomes all obstacles. I had to radically change my diet and my activities. I continue to have to sit in the reality that I don't have the answers and I can't do this on my own. God has probably done the most work on my attitude. I'm often reminded of 2 Corinthians 4:16. We do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. I cannot depend on my physical strength or ability, but on God, who sustains my spirit and my body for his purposes. When I started this journey, I just wanted to be married and successful. Today, by God's grace, although I'm not married or successful by the world's standards, I have peace. Even though physical pain is constant, I can say with conviction that God alone is enough. Psalm 73:25-26 say, "Whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth I desire besides you." My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I am weak in my flesh and totally dependent on his mercy and grace. I have to admit, being weak is not something I signed up for, but it's worth every moment to know him and be loved by him. I'm currently leading another group through the steps with my co-leader, Leanna. Unknowingly, she often reminds me of what it's supposed to look like for two people to lead by God's Spirit. When I become afraid and I'm tempted to exercise control, she sees the situation and moves forward boldly, waiting and not act. Waiting on her and on God and not acting out of my flesh grows my faith in him and my trust in the body of Christ. The group of women we are leading have taken ownership of their recovery. It is a blessing to see them encourage each other as they admit that they too desperately need God's healing. If you are here for the first time today, thank you for having the courage to come on a holiday. Whatever it is that brought you here, I promise that God desires to comfort you and give you peace. For those of you who have already committed to spending your Monday nights here, thank you for being honest and real. I can't tell you what a blessing and encouragement it has been. God works through our weaknesses to bring a hope that will not disappoint us in the end. Thank you for letting me share my story.